I'm Nate Swenson, assistant professor of plant biology at Michigan State University. A lot of my research has to do with mapping the diversity of functions or diversity of strategies that plants exhibit from all the way from the temperate zone to the tropical rainforest in South America. And using large amounts of data that already exist, like the data in GBIF and other types of databases that I've put together, and using that information to make maps of biodiversity, the functional aspect of biodiversity, and relate that to gradients in climate, and trying to make a statistical linkage between climatic gradients and biodiversity to establish predictive models that we can use for understanding the distribution of function today, but also the distribution of function perhaps in the future.
If we could just break that down a little bit, you refer to the distribution of plant function. In general terms, in layman's terms, what kind of thing are we talking about there?
So we're looking at basically the diversity or the different ways that plants make a living. So the different strategies that plants will use to take up carbon from the atmosphere or take up water from the ground, and how that variety of strategies helps the ecosystem function. So how the ecosystem captures carbon and how much can it capture per unit time or per unit area, basically the diversity of ways that plants make a living.
Yeah. And why is it important for us to know more about that?
So there are several studies that, fairly well-known studies, that show that the diversity of functions or strategies in a plant community relate really strongly to the stability and health of that ecosystem. So the more strategies you have, the more stable that assemblage or group of plants will be in the face of some kind of shift in the environment. But it also relates to the more strategies that you have, the more biomass that group of plants tends to accumulate. So by having a broader diversity of functions or strategies, generally we see a more productivity and stability of ecosystems.
So is it part of the process of understanding better how ecosystems will respond to human-induced global changes?
Yeah, that's a large part of it. Even without human-induced changes, we can try and establish relationships in the present day, but by understanding those relationships now, we can help generate models that can project how those ecosystems might change or function in the future with respect to climate change.
And what is the role of the type of data that can be accessed via GBIF in carrying out this kind of research?
So one of the major limitations of research to date is it comes primarily from experimental studies in grassland communities, the temperate zone. So a small 10 by 10 meter forest plot or grassland plot somewhere in England or in the Midwest of the United States. So what we don't really know is how these processes scale up. Is there a fundamentally different relationship if you look at a rainforest versus a grassland in England? And so by searching for large amounts of data, such as that that's in GBIF, we can start now scaling up these relationships and trying to map the distribution of function on continental or global scales instead of a very local scale in a grassland in the temperate zone.
So where do you see this research going forward now that you've had the prize?
I think one of the major ways it'll go forward is the models that we've been using to date, the types of models that you see in IPCC reports. They make maps where there's one pixel in that map that contains one functional strategy. And that's simply for a lack of data or a lack of research that we're trying to do now. And so what we see where this is going is using the types of data that are in GBIF, where we can start to inform that map pixel. Instead of just having one strategy saying a rainforest tree, we can now say, well, there are many hundreds of rainforest trees in that map grid cell, and this is the distribution of what they do and how they might individually respond. And so the types of information that we're putting together using GBIF and large trait databases can help go into these types of models, the next generation of projection models that climate modelers use.
And how do you see this research and the results being important to policymakers in the future? Is there, for example, a role in terms of adaptation to climate change?
Yeah, well, it's significantly important for those policymakers that are paying attention to model outputs. There's a substantial amount of information that can be added by using data like GBIF to help inform the next generation of models that are perhaps more refined and can give better projections and therefore inform policy.
When you refer to the models, you're talking about the impacts from climate change, for example, on ecosystems and their functions.
Exactly. So you could see an array of six models that have different projections for how much CO2 will rise and how the vegetation will respond. And the way that those models are parameterized in the future will come from data where we map out function and using data like GBIF. Yeah.
So in that sense, do you think it's important to use this kind of research as a way to demonstrate to policymakers the return on the investment in helping to mobilize this kind of data?
Certainly, yeah. This type of research or generating this type of data to inform models is basically not possible without really good large geo-referenced databases like you have at GBIF, where we know the distributions of plants and animals and we can start putting that together with what they do. I was super surprised and excited when I received the award, and it's going to allow me to really dive into these types of mapping projects to a much more detailed extent, where we can start to put together much larger databases and really generate really refined and nice empirical or observed maps and also predicted maps for the future. So it's pretty exciting, and I think it's going to open up a lot of new avenues for my lab.